On Midwest Week, getting ready for the next budget showdown in Springfield. I'm Herb Tricks, and my guest this week is Dusty Rhodes, education reporter for Illinois Public Radio. So, Dusty, if the new Illinois state budget has money for K-12 schools, what's the problem? Why are school officials worried again?
Well, it's got it in the budget, but there's some people are calling this a booby trap. There's a trigger in there that says that you cannot give this money out to schools unless it's through an evidence-based model. Now, that's a whole new funding scheme for schools. As you know, the current school funding formula is very inequitable. You've got these wide swings of, you know, districts that can spend like $7,000 per kid per year, and you've got other districts that can spend $30,000 per year per kid, and everything in between. And so, you know, lawmakers have been trying for a while to address that inequity, and they're all sides agree that this evidence-based model is the way to do that, and that's why they got that through in the budget, that it has to be through the evidence-based model. But the only bill that's ready to go that has the evidence-based model in it is a Democratic bill, and that is caught up in politics. So that's why schools are worried, because mm-hmm. that thing is still hung up.
Okay, so was it surprising that this bill, the SB1, was passed with support from both parties? I mean, this seems like we've been going back and forth on this for decades. I wonder what finally happened.
But I will say it felt like a huge surprise simply in a committee, in a House committee, when it got bipartisan votes. I thought there was going to be a balloon drop. I mean, the mood in the room was like, you know, euphoric that Republicans were voting for this. And then the night that it passed on the floor, again, I mean, lawmakers were taking selfies together and doing thank you speeches like you'd hear at the Oscars. It was, it was apparently a big surprise that people finally came together on this. As for what made that happen, I'm not really sure. I think part of it was that it quit being just Andy Menar, the senator from Bunker Hill. Will Davis got really involved. He's a Democrat from Homewood. And Bob Pritchard, a Republican from Hinckley, also got very involved. The governor had this bipartisan, bicameral school funding reform commission that met over a period of 6 months and met really frequently. I think there's a log of like 75 to 100 hours of those meetings. And you just can't sit in a room with with those people, you know, that long and discussing school funding in such an intense manner and not come to some agreements, you know. So maybe it's a little of all of that. I'm not sure. There may have been candles lit somewhere. I'm not sure.
So we've got this bill that won bipartisan support. So what's the problem? What is the booby trap that you referred to earlier?
Beth Purvis is the education secretary, and she has said that the governor likes 90% of the bill, but that 10% is 100% of the problem. And that 10% is all about Chicago public schools. There's just, you know, a big schism in how lawmakers view Chicago public schools. The Democrats want to hold everyone harmless, and that was a generally agreed upon principle that no district will lose money when we change formula. And specifically, Menar had, this was his fourth school funding plan he had filed. The previous three were going to be kind of redistribution things where the districts that had all this fabulous amount of money were going to lose some, and the poor districts were going to get more. That didn't work. That never passed the House. And so everybody said, let's have a, you know, purely hold harmless. Except Chicago. The Republicans don't want to hold Chicago harmless because they say that Chicago has gotten too much money through this block grant kind of bonus thing that I could explain, but you would probably fall asleep see, now Chicago's the only district that does not, that pays their own teacher pensions. The other 850-something districts, we pay their pensions. The state pays their pensions. And that means that when a school board sits down to negotiate with a new superintendent or teachers, they can negotiate whatever kind of pension plan they want because the state's paying it, not them. And that's another huge piece of the inequity that's not even involved in this bill. But Chicago's behind on their pension payments, and so they've got this unfunded liability. And so the Republicans say, we're bailing them out. Mm-hmm. But guess what? The state's also behind on those 850 other odd districts that are under the teacher retirement system, and we're bailing them out too. So, you know, it's like everybody's right.
So, Dusty, the Democrats have said to the governor, who's promised to veto this bill or mandatorily veto the bill, that they're willing to negotiate. So what sort of negotiations would be possible? I mean, is this just sort of the usual political maneuvering, or is there some room for the two sides to fix something in this part of the bill that they object to?
Well, Rauner has not been at all forthcoming with exactly how he wants to AV this bill, and he's given some kind of conflicting statements, like he talks about he doesn't want to do pensions, but his website says he'd pick up the pension. He won't talk about that he wants to cut the block grant, yet his website says he's cutting the block grant. It's a little hard to know exactly what he has in mind, but my understanding is that one space for compromise would be how you do the pension piece. Do you do it inside the school funding bill, or do you do it in a separate bill? So that would be a place you could compromise.
Now, are there any deadlines for K-12 funding to be approved and for school officials across the state to breathe a huge sigh of relief?
I think that their deadline for breathing relief was, you know, weeks ago, but ISBE, the State Board of Education, sends out the money. They typically send out the first payment on August 10th. So I guess that would be it.
And one last thing, the bill itself, do we have any idea when the Democrats in the General Assembly might send it to the governor for him to do whatever he's going to do to it?
Monday. It will be Monday, and that's exactly what I can't believe I predicted correctly, because I actually had concert tickets to go to Chicago, and he called special session. I was like, oh, no, I'm not going to get to go. But then I thought, well, he gave them a deadline of July 31st. They're not going to do anything before the deadline, and I was right. They're going to send it on Monday. Donnie Trotter, Senator Trotter, he's the one who put the brick on it, and he said he'll give it to the governor on Monday.
And what about going back to the General Assembly to override the mandatory veto? Any possibility of that?
I'm hearing some yes, I'm hearing some no.
So the Republicans who voted to override the governor on the budget may stick with him on the school funding bill?
They may, because his spreadsheet that he has online shows districts getting a lot more money under his plan. And a lot of lawmakers are happy to make their vote based on just the numbers. Any spreadsheet that you look at right now is a snapshot of just what they get the first year, not how it plays out over the long haul. It's kind of like looking at an engagement photo of a couple in love and she's got a flashy diamond ring. It doesn't tell you what the marriage is going to be. It doesn't tell you how their marriage is going to turn out.